And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Yesterday, for the first time since entering the hospital in New York, Mary Noble was allowed to see her face beneath the bandages that have covered it, and her reaction was one of disappointment. For although Dr. Allen has assured her she's progressing beautifully from the painful acid burns inflicted by the enraged Claudia Vincent, she nevertheless expected better results. And later in the day, she conveyed this disappointment to wealthy Rupert Barlow, who's been taking full advantage of Larry's absence in Hollywood to continue his romantic campaign for Mary's attention. But Rupert finds the possibility of a disfigured Mary Noble considerably dampening to his ardor. Right now, in his New York apartment overlooking Central Park, we find him receiving a call from a private investigator named Irving Morse. And as Mr. Morse approaches his client, we hear...
Mr. Barlow, we hit pay dirt this time. I come right over the minute I got the report. I knew you'd want to read it straight off.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Morse, but suppose you get to the point. I'm very busy at the moment.
Well, sure, Mr. Barlow. Only I thought you'd want to see this report that just come in for my boys out on the West Coast. It's full of real meat. And I'm beginning to understand why you wanted us to put a shadow on that actor fellow, that Larry Noble. He must be quite a guy. He sure isn't wasting any time out there in Hollywood.
If you've finished with your personal discourse, suppose you get down to the business that brought you here.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, right away. Just let me get this report out of the envelope here. Got it right here. Yeah. You want to read it? Do you want me to read it out to you?
You may as well read it to save time.
Okay. Now, I mean, March 11th. That's Sunday.
I'm not interested in a discussion of a calendar, Mr. Moss.
Okay. I only wanted to make it clear. Now, the boy says... Picked up subject at hotel in Beverly Hills at 9:47. Followed him in car from parking lot into Hollywood. Down
you can
Sunset
skip the details. I don't care what street your operative passed nor what the mileage on his speedometer reads. Just give me the gist of the report and try to make it brief.
Sure, only, Mr. Barlow, in this business, an operative has got to give all the facts, understand? Otherwise, the report don't stand up.
Can't you understand that I'm anxious to finish with this matter as quickly as possible? You're wasting valuable time.
Well, just wait till you hear this next. Now, here's where it starts to get interesting. Subject pulled into curb on Hollywood Boulevard, right back of a bus stop, and waited for exactly 7 minutes. Young girl stepped off bus and was hailed by subject. Girl who is identified as young actress named Dora Dean, also working on Marco and Franklin lot, joined subject and both drove off in car. Managed to keep following, although subject appears nervous and kept looking back, making it necessary to dodge out of sight frequently. Now, Mr. Barlow, get this. This is the interesting part.
Go on, I'm listening.
Okay, then. Boy says, subject and actress drive around for nearly 2 hours, stopping at small apartment and rooming houses. After frequent stops, they go into house at 1217 Jacaranda and remain for nearly quarter hour. Then they return the car, drive out toward Ocean, with subject still appearing nervous and looking back. Until
all right, that's enough. That's all I want to know.
Well, there's not much more. It's only a couple more.
I'm not interested, Mr. Morse.
Yeah, but you wanted us to shadow this noble, Mr. Barlow. You asked us to have operatives tail him around the clock. And the first time we hit pay dirt, you say you're not interested. Here, maybe you better read the report yourself. Maybe you didn't get the idea. This guy is chasing after a young Hollywood starlet. If you wanted to get the goods on him, looks like we're on the right track. Here, you take the report.
Very well.
Hey, you're tearing up the report.
Exactly. That's the end of it, as far as I'm concerned. You can call your operatives off the case and send me the bill for expenses to date.
You mean you don't want us to shadow this Larry Noble no more?
That is precisely what I mean. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Morse, I have other things to do.
Sure. Okay, Mr. Barlow. I'm leaving right away.
And at this same time, we find Mary Noble in her room in a New York hospital where she's waiting until she's well enough to leave. Her nurse has just brought in the mail and has left again to fill in her chart. And Mary quickly looks through the letters until...
Here it is. Oh, Larry, darling, if you only knew what your letters mean to me. It's almost as if you were speaking to me when I read your letters. I can hear the sound of your voice, even see the expression on your face.
Darling, it looks as if I've really settled down for the rest of my stay. Yesterday, I moved out of the hotel into a smaller place. And so from now on, my address will be 1217 Jacaranda. Doesn't that sound fancy?
It certainly does. Oh, I can picture the street now when the trees are in bloom. I wonder if this is the season, or is it too late? Here I am daydreaming instead of finishing the letter. Where was I? Oh, yes. You said, doesn't it sound fancy?
But it's not. In fact, it's anything but, sweetheart. The only virtue of my new domicile is the economy of rent.
I hope it isn't some horrible little hole in the wall, darling. I don't want you to be wretched or uncomfortable.
I've taken this inexpensive room so that I'll be able to pay off the bills at a faster rate. So you see, Mary, there's nothing for you to worry about from that score. Just concentrate on getting well and arranging your life in any way you want. Let me worry about everything else. You haven't told me very much about yourself lately. I want to know how you feel, how you're getting along. And please don't pull any punches. You know that your recovery is my greatest concern. My love, darling, as always.
As always. Oh, Larry, darling, how endless the days seem when you're away. Even though I'm the one who sent you. You don't know about that, do you, darling? You don't know that I wrote Tom Bryson in Hollywood and asked him to find you a picture contract. I'm sure you'd be quite angry with me if you knew. But I only did it because you were so wretched here, worrying about me and our debt. I hope you're happy where you are. And I wish I knew what to tell you, darling, about myself. How long it will be, or what I'll look like when it's over. I've hoped for so much, and now I'm a little afraid. I couldn't put that in a letter, Larry, but it's true. I'm afraid that I may always wear the telltale marks of this horrible nightmare. And I know that would be unbearable for you. To always be reminded of Claudia Vincent and all she meant would be too cruel a trick for fate to play. But how can I be sure it won't be like that?
Good morning, Mrs. Noble.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Allen.
How is my favorite patient this morning?
Oh, I'm just fine, Doctor.
Are you? Cross your heart?
Cross my heart.
Good. Then I want you to tell me what all this commotion was about yesterday.
What do you mean?
Your nurse, Miss Clark, tells me Mr. Rupert Barlow was ready to tear the building down, stone by stone, after he saw you.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that, Dr. Allen.
What's the reason for the sudden flare-up, or is it a personal matter? I have several urgent messages to get in touch with Mr. Barlow at once, but I thought I'd better hear what you have to say first.
Oh, it's entirely my fault. Although I don't think Rupert Barlow should have made such a fuss. I really didn't expect him yesterday at all, and I was feeling a little depressed.
Depressed? Why?
Oh, I know it's ungrateful of me after all you've done, but somehow I expected my face to look exactly as it did before Claudia Vincent threw that acid at me. And when it didn't, well, I was disappointed.
I see.
I must have transferred this disappointment to Rupert. And he reacted the way men so often do.
How is that?
When they feel helpless to do anything, they fly into a temper and start looking for someone to take it out on.
You think that I'm to be the scapegoat?
I'm afraid so, Dr. Allen. Although if you just refuse to see Rupert, I'll make him understand that he's not to say anything to you when I see him next.
Don't worry about me, my dear. My shoulders are broad enough to take Mr. Barlow's blows. What I want to clear up is this distorted point of view you seem to have adopted since yesterday.
Distorted?
I'm afraid so. You see, Mrs. Noble, I told you the plain, unvarnished truth when I said that you were making a remarkable, almost a miraculous recovery.
Yes, I know.
I also warned you not to expect too much when you first looked into that hand mirror.
I guess I couldn't help it.
What you saw is not the finished product, my dear. Although to the professional eye of a doctor, it is clearly evident that the healing will be very nearly perfect, and that your beauty will be certainly not damaged to any noticeable extent. Now then, in view of that, do you think there is any justification for this depressed state of mind?
No, certainly not. And I really am ashamed, Dr. Allen. I feel so ungrateful.
Nonsense, my dear. I just want to straighten the facts out in your own mind and make sure that you don't lapse into another spell of gloom.
I won't, I promise you that. Oh, Dr. Allen, you've made me so happy. I won't even ask you how long it'll take. I'll be patient from now on until the day you say I'm healed.
You won't have too long to wait, my dear. And then what do you do? Return to your home on Long Island?
The first thing I'll do is get a plane for Hollywood and surprise my husband.
I wonder if that's a wise plan.
Well, why not? I'm so anxious to see him and to settle his fears about me.
Before you want to take this trip, Mrs. Noble, you'd better think about it carefully. Whatever you do, don't leave without consulting me.
Dr. Allen is thinking of the false impression he has formed of Larry Noble as the result of the carefully planted insinuations of Rupert Barlow. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway stars.